Yes, and this is the last week for those hard songs.
Yep, I know. But I think next month's going to be I'm going to go back in the archives and pull something out. We pretty much don't sing traditional songs because we don't do hymnals here. No, we don't. That's not the way this church runs. Anyways, this week was interesting because I actually, even though I was out of town, I still got to spend time in the Word. Not as much as I would have liked to, but I still had a chance. And I, of course, the message came when I was studying, as it usually does. Today is June 27th, 2010. Message today is on divine relief. And I told that to the person that I was traveling with this week, and he just kind of looked at me puzzled, and I'm like, yeah, divine relief. Few things bring a greater sense of satisfaction than relief. Relief is defined as alleviating or easing or deliverance through the removal of pain, distress, or oppression. So relief is a pretty good thing. When we are relieved of pain, we breathe easier. Hope returns as the pain departs. Sometimes the sense of relief that we feel is better than anything money can buy. Just to have that, be able to take a deep breath and that sense of relief. You know that hope's going to return, that everything's going to be all right. Nothing can be as sweet as the feeling of being delivered from a heavy burden or debt. Relief. Relief. God calls this divine gift of relief mercy. Mercy is the twin to grace. Usually where you see grace mentioned, mercy usually follows. Unfortunately, mercy is usually second to grace. But grace and mercy are usually seen together. Mercy does seem to live in grace's shadow. When the two are named together, grace always comes first. And it's unfortunate because most people emphasize grace so much that mercy is seldom highlighted. And although the two come together, you can't have one without the other. In Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1 through 9, the word reads, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But," verse 4 reads, "God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ." Verse 8 says, For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a couple scriptures here we're going to zoom in on. First being Ephesians 2:4. God is rich in mercy. Remember what mercy is? Mercy is defined as an act of kindness, compassion, or favor. Mercy is an act of kindness. Having compassion on something. If you have compassion on something, then you are showing it mercy. Now, do you remember how we receive salvation? Our salvation is only received through grace. What is grace? Grace is a gift of God. If salvation is received through God's grace and is only received as a grace, as a gift from God, as a word, as verse 8 just reads, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, it is a gift of God, not through yourselves." So if salvation is received through God's grace and is only received as a gift from God, it's because of his mercy. It's because of his act of kindness. And God is loaded with it. God is loaded with mercy. He's rich in mercy. If he were not rich in mercy, we might feel secure in God's love and we might be encouraged by his grace, but our lack of relief would hinder the presence of peace. Without receiving that divine relief that is given through mercy, through the Lord's kindness, you don't receive that relief. And you don't receive that peace that comes along with your burdens being lifted. Amen? The essential link between God's grace and our peace is his mercy. That is the Lord's infinite compassion actively shown to us who suffer. Not just as an understanding of our situations, but divine relief that results in peace deep within. Make sense? We receive salvation through grace. We receive salvation as a gift of God, and it's given and delivered to us through the Lord's mercy. They all go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Now let's talk a little bit about mercy. Psalms 23 contains scripture to some of us is very familiar. You may know it. You may not know that it's Psalms 23. I encourage you to know that it's Psalms 23. And I'm going to read that here in a minute, or at least the first opening lines, and then you'll know it. But unless we pay attention, we can miss one of the most important parts of the message. You have to remember its conclusion. Now, before I talk about the conclusion, I'm going to remind you of what Psalms 23 is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of the righteous for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Y'all know it now? Psalms 23. And it's really, for the way Psalms goes, it's only got 6 verses. So it's not real long. Some of them are pretty long. But unless you pay attention to the last line of Psalms 23, you may miss something that's very important. Psalms 23:6 reads, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Thus the tithe song. You can usually get an indication of the message by the tithe song. I try to tie them together. But unless you pay attention to that, yeah, we know the Lord's with us all the time. For us, it's difficult to remember or to remain focused on that. We know it, but you have to actually understand it. You have to actually receive the relief that God intends by those words. And a lot of times we miss that. A lot of times we are so battled and so burdened that we miss those comforting points that the Lord tries to give us. And a lot of times we don't find much comfort in it. And that's unfortunate, but it's true. But goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord. Without God's kindness, without his compassion, we don't get there. Right? The Old Testament has a few examples of some miseries where mercy brought needed relief. And I have a few of those to share with you today. When we're suffering the pain of unfair and unjust consequences, in Genesis 39:21-23, Joseph, when dumped into a dungeon because of a false accusation, was given, I guess it's pronounced chest, C-H-E-S-E-D, which is another word for divine relief. It relieved him of the misery of bitterness, the companion of unfair treatment. It's hard for us to not get bitter when we're treated unfairly. But because of the Lord's kindness, we're delivered from that. Another example was when we're enduring the grief of a death. In Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, shortly after the premature deaths of her son, Naomi asked the Lord to grant her grieving daughter-in-law, I don't know how that's pronounced. God not only gives dying grace, but he also provides grieving mercy, which relieves us of the misery of anger and the backwash of our accepting the loss of a loved one. So the Lord delivers us from that by his mercy, through his kindness and compassion. When we're struggling with the limitations of a handicap, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, David extended chest to Mephibosheth. I got to study how to pronounce these words. The crippled son of Jonathan, and provided him a place at the king's table for the rest of his days. And I do remember that story. It's a very touching story. But mercy relieves us from the misery of self-pity. That self-pity that often accompanies a handicap. Remember, we're talking about miseries that mercy helps deliver us from. Two more. When we're hurting physically, Job chapter 10, verse 12. The Lord gave chest to Job, which strengthened him to go on during his days of intense pain. Divine relief removes the misery of hopelessness that would otherwise overwhelm us in times of great affliction. You do feel very hopeless when you're suffering a lot of pain. And I can't imagine anyone suffering like Job did. Other than the Lord, of course, but for an Old Testament example, Job suffered a lot. So mercy and divine relief helps us with that feelings of hopelessness. Last one is when we're under a cloud of guilt after we have committed a transgression. Psalms 32 and 51 both speaks of David's gratitude for chest after the Bathsheba affair. His sin was not only forgiven, but his guilt was taken away. That's something that generally is difficult to receive. We know our sins are forgiven. It's the guilt that doesn't leave us for quite a long time. And it's especially the guilt that the devil continues to bring up that keeps us in that mind frame. And honestly, keeps us from truly being forgiven. Because not only do we know that we're forgiven by the Lord, but we also have to forgive ourselves. And it's the guilt that we feel that keeps us from doing that. But his guilt was taken away. In his mercy and loving kindness, God relieves the misery of guilt, the lingering sting of wrongdoing. So there's a couple examples. But the important thing to remember is that there is nothing too extreme for mercy. There's nothing too extreme for kindness and compassion, especially from the Lord. No grief too deep. No handicap too debilitating. No pain too excruciating. No sin too shameful. The Lord's mercy is our companion. And it's always near. And it's unending. Praise God that the word says that the Lord's mercies are renewed daily. You don't run out. The Lord doesn't get fed up with you and say, you know what, how many times do I got to show you this lesson over and over again? I'm done. That's it. No more. God doesn't do that. His mercies are renewed daily. They are unending. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, the word says, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. They never end. Changes occur in our lives because we're shown mercy. And what a relief that we are. Because without the Lord's kindness, without the Lord's compassion, we would not be able to be given divine relief. We would not be able to be delivered from the troubles of this world. Without mercy, really, we don't receive grace. And without that, we don't receive our salvation. They all go hand in hand. When you stop and think about it, really, it's because of God's mercy that we receive anything, because of his kindness. Without him being kind, I mean, like I said, he could just say, I'm done talking to you, like you would with your kids, like you would with anyone that you have to talk to and tell them over and over and over again. Luckily enough, though, we surrender it to the Lord, and we let the Lord handle it. How many times have you been so frustrated with somebody, you're like, I'm done. I'm wasting my breath. I am wasting no more of my breath. You're in God's hands. Well, I've always said that I would rather have to stand in judgment, the Lord's judgment, than man's judgment. Men can be so much more critical and so much harder on us than the Lord. Because why? Because generally the Lord is more merciful than any man you may come across. You may give kindness, you may be compassionate, but I can guarantee you're not going to be kinder than the Lord. But God still knows that each and every one of us, he knows all of our thoughts, all of our faults, and even though he knows all those things, he still loves us. We can't say that about everybody that we know. We can say, I love you. I can love you as a Christian should, but I don't like you. I may not like the things that you do. I tried to teach my daughter to hate the sin and not the sinner. Because we are called to love everyone, no matter what they do, no matter how much they hurt us, get in our way, irritate us, we're still called to love them. And it's like we talked in Sunday school. If you remember that we are all created in his image, that kind of helps with that. Where you can show mercy onto others, you can give your kindness and your compassion onto others and make sure that they see the Lord and how the Lord works in your life, that they may seek as well. But the essential link between God's grace and our peace is his mercy. My final thought to you today comes from Jude chapter 1, verse 21. And that is, the word says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. For through his mercy, all grace is received. Amen. Does anybody have any questions or anything to add? Alrighty. That concludes today's service. If all hearts and minds are clear, we can stand for dismissal.